Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to go directly to our callers. A lot of people hanging on. First up today, we have Terry listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Hank. My question is about the Passion Translation.
Yes.
Have you heard of that?
Well, I have heard of that. The Passion Translation, it is a translation by one man. I think his name was Brian Simon. And the reason I point that out at the very outset is the best translations are the work of many people who can translate the Bible in a coordinated fashion. One thing that I will say is that not everyone is an expert in every segment of the Scripture, which is a very, well, almost inexhaustible treasure trove. And therefore, many people working together are far more adept in translation than just one person. But I think that even beyond this, the Passion Translation Bible is really not a translation at all. It's more of what you might well describe as a paraphrase, but not just a paraphrase with an agenda, because it claims to translate Scripture by consulting Aramaic manuscripts, but the claim is very dubious because the Aramaic texts are later and are themselves translations from Greek manuscripts. So I don't think that this is a good way to go. And I think all too often what we have in the modern world is translations for the sake of translation rather than translations for the sake of clarity. We do live in a very blessed time. That blessed time is a time in which we have fantastic translations of the Bible already. You think about the NIV or the New King James Version of the Bible or the ESV. So many fantastic translations that are based on the best manuscript evidence that is extant today. So again, sometimes as I say, translations are translations for the sake of translation rather than for the sake of clarity. Too much selling and sensationalism going on in the Christian world today. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Stephen in Kansas. Hi.
Yes. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question, how do you feel about the power of God being for today?
Well, the power of God is for today. The power of God has never been limited. We know that God is capable of speaking and the universe comes into existence. And therefore, we know that God has all power and can exercise that power sovereignly as he sees fit. So is the power of God manifest today? Yes. I mean, the greatest manifestation of that power is changed lives. People who are now indwelt by the Holy Spirit and are having communion with God are able to experience what Peter, James, and John experienced on Mount Tabor when they experienced Christ's transfiguration and they themselves were enveloped in a cloud of uncreated energy. They were experiencing God in a very dynamic and direct sense. And we can have that same fellowship with God. We can experience life in the Trinity and therefore be empowered by God to do what we do, not by might or by power that is merely bios, but by Zoe, by his power working through us in transforming the world. So is God's power extant today? Of course it is. Without it, we could not change lives. I mean, I might be able to intellectually win an argument, but I can't change a heart.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you clearing that up. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Matt. He's listening in Hendersonville, Tennessee. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for asking. I first just wanted to say I wanted to thank God for allowing you to have this ministry on the radio and help so many people. I think it's a great thing.
Oh, thank you.
And my question, I have a lot of things I have questions about, but I think the biggest one right now is kind of just doubt about, you know, my sincerity when I prayed my prayer of salvation. It's been a little while, so, you know, now I'm starting to doubt. I figure that's kind of normal, but kind of doubt in general, I realize just doubt, like, it is just this nagging doubt that's been with me for several years now. Like, what if I'm wrong? How do I convince myself? How do I know for sure so that I can dedicate myself? Because I think that's where most of my problems come from, is just that I haven't dedicated myself 100% to the Christian life, because I don't want to, I'm worried, I guess. I don't want to be wrong and dedicate myself to something that turns out to just be kind of empty.
I'm so glad you called, Matt. And what you're describing is not uncommon. And that's why I say that answers to questions or apologetics is not only pre-evangelism. What I mean by that, it's not only God using your well-reasoned answer as a springboard or an opportunity for sharing the truth and the grace and the love that only comes through Jesus Christ, but it's also post-evangelism. And here's what I mean by that. Sometimes when the winds and waves of doubt beat upon the house of your faith, to speak metaphorically, you can go back to those pillars and posts and you can cling to them. You can hang on to them. So what are those pillars and posts? The great ones are, first of all, we can know with certainty that there is a God, that he spoke and the universe leapt into existence. The alternative to that is to believe that nothing produces everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life produces morals, which is an untenable proposition. So we can go back and look at the heavens and see that the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands, day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they proclaim knowledge, there's no speech or language where their voice is not heard, their words go out to the ends of the earth. So the heavens declare the glory of God. So we can go back to that pillar and post. Secondly, we can go back to a pillar and post and cling to it, which is that God is not only the creator of the universe, who is ineffable, who is transcendent, but a God who is knowable through the graces and through the work and the person of Jesus Christ. So we can know that Christ invaded time and space. Why? Because the resurrection demonstrates that Jesus Christ is God. Many other things we could point to, but ultimately resurrection points to the fact that Jesus had the power to lay down his life, take it up again, and therefore demonstrate that he is God in human flesh. So Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, gives us a four-part argument by which we can know with certainty that resurrection is not mythology, it is reality. And by the way, in my book, The Third Day, I lay this out in a very concise fashion. I go through the four-part argument that Paul makes. Christ died. His body was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. He appeared and gave convincing proofs that he was alive, and the disciples were transformed as a result of his appearances in flesh, his post-resurrection appearances. So the resurrection is the second pillar that we can cling to, and then we can cling to the Bible as an authority that we can rely on. I have been studying the Bible since I became a believer in 1979, and It is always amazing that even when I run into what seems to be an apparent contradiction, a little study shows that there is a resolution. So we can know that the Bible is a reliable authority. I have three books that I wrote in this regard. In terms of origins, I have the Creation Answer book and the Farce of Evolution. In terms of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I wrote a book called Resurrection. And in terms of knowing that the Bible is a reliable authority, we have a book called Has God Spoken? But these are the pillars and posts that we can go back to know that our faith is rooted and grounded in such a way that we can feel solid in our faith. To master those three alone, those pillars or posts, as it were, will go a great, great distance in helping you feel solidified in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Coming up to station break, sorry to leave it at that. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast in a moment.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Terry listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Terry.
Hello, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
That's great. Well, I'm really thankful for your ministry, and you do a great job. I have a question today, and my question is, I've been a Christian for many years and really growing exponentially in the last 12 months, and I've just really had some questions about this. My sister and brother-in-law got involved in a belief called Christadelphians, and have you heard of that? And then second of all, how would you minister to people in that particular group? And then thirdly, would you define that as a cult?
I would, yes. To take your last question first, I would define it as a cult. And, you know, cults are notorious for the same things. They're counterfeits. And the way that you identify a counterfeit is you become very familiar with the real. Secondly, cults have unreliable revelations, either personal revelations, corporate revelations, revelations that they present in written material, but they have unreliable revelations which counter the revelation which has been given to us through Scripture. They also use linguistic subversion. In other words, they take Christian language and they subvert it by pouring their own meanings into the words. And then theological subversion means that they take the essentials of the Christian faith and they tamper with them. So in that sense, I think that we can say that Christadelphians are a cult. In fact, they derive their name from their denial of the deity of Jesus Christ. It's Christos plus Adelphos, or brothers, and therefore, in their view, we are brothers of Christ, and Christ, therefore, is merely a human being anointed by God to bring the gospel to men, but he is not God in their view. And therefore, their gospel becomes a gospel of works, not a gospel of grace. They also deny essentials like the Trinity. So they remake God in their own image, in their own fashion, and they deny the existence of what the Bible clearly delineates and teaches, and that is the possibility of being eternally separated from the love and grace of God. All of these are very, very serious errors that I think puts them in the classification of a cult of Christianity for all the reasons that I mentioned. And how do you witness to them? Well, you have to be familiar with the essentials and use the deviations as springboards for sharing the truth.
Well, thank you very much, Hank. I appreciate that. I've realized some of the things you've already mentioned as warning signs over the last number of years. And my sister now has asked me to come to her place in another province in Canada and said, you know, bring your Bible, let's study the Bible together. I'm a little bit apprehensive, but I also do know the truth, and I have the truth in my heart. And so I think I'm going to go there, but I want it to be equipped, and I'm definitely going to do some study before I go.
Yeah, and, you know, also don't feel at all bad if you are in a situation where you don't have an answer. Because at that point, you simply say, look, that's a good point, or that's a good question. I'm not sure how to answer that at this point, but I will find an answer to your question. In that way, you become more equipped. So don't put a burden on yourself that is unnecessary, the burden that you have every answer to every question. I don't, you don't. But in being asked a question, you'll be able to find satisfactory answers to go back with. But the big thing,
I did ask her on the phone. I said, what do you do with Jesus? And she said, well, Jesus was a man, and he was God's son, but he's not divine. I said, what do you do with John 1? You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. You know, I said, what do you do with that verse? She goes, well, you know, the Word does not mean what you think it means. It's sort of like the Word means plan or purpose. So if you put that in there, you know, Jesus was the plan or the purpose of God.
So you can go on and say what John says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. But look, we don't have to simply have one John. We can have many, many ones. We have John chapter 1, but we also have Colossians chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 1. I mean, you think of Colossians chapter 1. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authority. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. In him, all things hold together. Or Hebrews, which declares, according to God the Father himself, that Jesus is God. Because what does Hebrews say about the Son? The Father says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. And there are many other first chapters of the Bible. Revelation chapter 1, which declares Jesus to be the Alpha and the Omega, who is, who was, who is to come, who is the Almighty. Or I think a 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter says, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. So many of the first chapters of these books of the Bible, these epistles, are pointing to Jesus as being the unique Son of God.
Well, thank you, Hank. I'll leave it at that, but I will definitely do some study before I go there, and I'm going to be planning to go there in about a month or so, so it gives me a time to do some study.
Well, that's music to my ears, and may God richly bless you and use you through the power of the Holy Spirit to reach those who are trapped in a web of deceit. I mean, that's really what it is. They are the thoughts and the ideas of human beings being superimposed upon what God gives us as his word.
Thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Obviously, numerous other biblical passages could be pointed to. I think of Titus chapter 2:13. The reason I didn't mention that is because it wasn't a one. John 1, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, Revelation 1, 2 Peter 1, and so forth. But Titus 2:13, this is where the Apostle Paul calls Jesus, and this is powerful, our great God and Savior. And of course, this bears eloquent testimony to the deity of Jesus Christ, along with the other passages that I mentioned. Let's go back to the phone lines. Brian next, listening in Colorado. Hi, Brian.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
So I got a person that is dear and close to me who has converted into a Jehovah's Witness. He grew up Catholic and is now a Jehovah's Witness, and he's trying to push this stuff onto me. And we get into heated debates over this, and he's really good at what he does. He beats me at quoting scripture a lot, and I was wondering if you have a specific resource that can help me out with this.
Well, we do have resources, and you can find them on the web at equip.org, but I think what's really important here is to stay with the main and the plain things, which is to say you can go off on rabbit trails, but if you stay with the main and plain things, you're well-served, and in the process, you'll become an ever more useful tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. The main and the plain things have to do with the Watchtower Society compromising the nature of God. So they'll teach their devotees that the Trinity is a freakish-looking three-headed God invented by Satan and that Jesus is merely a God. Well, if you understand essential Christian doctrine, you can point out that this is a contradiction of the main and plain teachings of Scripture. It's a contradiction of the teaching that Jesus Christ is divine. They say that Jesus was created by God as the Archangel Michael, who during his earthly sojourn was merely human, and who, after his crucifixion, was recreated as an immaterial spirit creature. So what's the trump card there? Well, it's be able to show that the Bible says that Jesus Christ is God, that the very acts of Jesus demonstrates that he's God, and Christ overtly claimed to be God. So if you understand the essentials of the Christian faith and the main and plain teachings that back that up, you can use the truth as a way to destroy the counterfeit. Now, what do counterfeiters do? Well, they counterfeit that which is real. So someone that wants to detect them, they become so familiar with the real that when the counterfeit looms on the horizon, they recognize it instantaneously. So my advice is not to try to get into all the deviations of the Watchtower organization, but really become conversant with the essentials of the Christian faith and how to defend them. I developed a flip chart in this regard. It's called Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine. You can find it on the web at equip.org. I could talk to you all day long. Unfortunately, out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The other resources that I talked about you can find online at equip.org. And do remember our mailing address, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants also standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. If I didn't get to your call, my apology. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast or sometime in the future. We do thank all of you for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, either through prayer or through your financial support. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.